The Psychedologist.
Thank you for listening to The Psychedologist. This is your host, Leah Freedwoman. In this episode, we're kicking off a three-part series with some volunteers from Baystaters for Natural Medicine, a grassroots community group educating city leaders on plant medicines and the war on drugs. You'll hear from James Davis in this episode. His passion is rooted in experiences growing up in a neighborhood plagued by prohibition-linked violence and seeing loved ones struggle with addiction. In his day job, he works as legislative director to a Massachusetts state representative that chairs the legislature's cannabis committee. Formerly, he did legislative work for the City Council of Berkeley. He holds a master's in public administration from USC and a BA in economics and history from Columbia. His views do not necessarily represent his employers, and nor do mine. Thank you, and I hope you enjoyed this conversation with James. What was your relationship to consciousness as a child, James?
Big question. I was raised by a single mom in a trailer park in Kansas, and I was always a very weird kid, staring into space in class, always checked out of school. And I think part of it is because I spent a lot of time alone as a kid, and a lot of kids spend time alone because their parents are working so many jobs to make ends meet. And so part of my consciousness growing up was very much class consciousness, knowing that the kids that lived on the other end of the railroad tracks in town got to see their parents a lot more. Whereas my relationship with my mom, though it's beautiful, was really strained by our neighborhood, by her work schedule, and by the conditions I grew up in the trailer park. So a meth lab exploded when I was just 5 years old. And it was a formative experience and lesson in the war on drugs that prohibition puts us all in a lot of danger. And that's one of the reasons why I'm passionate about making plant medicines accessible for everyone, while also ending drug possession arrests so that we can end this failed war on people.
And so how did you get into doing the advocacy work you're doing now?
So five of us met in Massachusetts through LinkedIn, of all platforms, the most braggadocious and corporate of them all. But we still just had a really intimate connection over the phone and over Zoom because we were in the thick of quarantine a little less than a year ago. And we were just authentic about how plant medicines had helped us process traumas, how they had helped us overcome addictions. And through that authenticity, we decided that our city leaders deserve to know these stories, and we were going to organize and fight like hell to make sure that they sent a message to everyone that these can help you and that they should be available.
Wow. So how are you actually going about doing that? Like, how will the message get out there? And, you know, it sounds like you're pretty confident that you can succeed. Like, what can we expect?
We are going to decriminalize Boston, and in the meantime, city by city, we're going to set an example for what the system we want to see is, and that's one in which people don't have to pay $15,000 to go through a highly regulated and licensed process to get access to MDMA or these plant medicine therapies. And part of what we're doing today at the party in East Hampton is just demonstrating that there's a community and culture where you can access and grow these medicines and rejoice in them. Because without a community, there's just not as strong of connections for people to access shrooms, for people to digest and integrate their experiences with them. So the point of the resolutions is step by step, brick by brick, we're sending signals to Washington, we're sending signals across the country that plant medicines should be to everyone who wants to access them.
Well, I completely agree. And yeah, it's been doing this healing work in community that it's been so much more robust and like lasting for me and for a lot of my people that I love. What you mentioned MDMA, so is that like included in the plant medicines, or is there a plan for MDMA?
So it's not a plant, as you know. We decriminalize possession of all controlled substances. So it goes a step further than a lot of the resolutions that have passed around the country. In Somerville, Cambridge, Northampton, and now in East Hampton, you can have possession of MDMA, LSD, you know, psychedelics, as well as heroin, methamphetamine, substances that should really be used sparingly, if at all, and with an abundance of caution. But we believe that arresting people on possession charges perpetrates the racism and classism of the war on drugs and amounts to thousands of arrests across Massachusetts every year. In Boston alone, about 1,000 people are arrested on possession charges every year, and there's a 2-to-1 racial disparity in those arrests. I have close loved ones who have been arrested for drug possession, and it doesn't help you get better. Maybe for some, like, that would otherwise get well, it does. They run into a prison recovery program. But for a lot of folks, it's horribly traumatic to get arrested. You can lose your job, you get a permanent record, and you're taken away from your family that can support you through addiction and support you through, substance use disorder. So it's an extremely important element of what we do. It doesn't get the same sexy headlines, but it's really critical. And it would allow therapists, for example, to possess MDMA and use that with their clients without fear that they would get arrested.
Would there still be a civil penalty or something?
So the resolutions ask that the police departments make these arrests the lowest possible priority. The reason why it's not an ordinance, to get away from the city speak, that's an official law. This isn't an official law. It's a statement of values to the police department. The reason it can't be official is because the state law still needs to be changed and updated. That's just going to take potentially a year or two to get right. So in the meantime, we're having those conversations with law enforcement and getting them to codify in their policies, like in Somerville, that they're not going to arrest people for possession. Or if they stumble across someone growing psilocybin mushrooms, they're not going to arrest them either. They don't have to live in fear.
Wow. Yeah. It's like, I remember when cannabis got decriminalized and then legalized, and I believe it when I see it, but I believe in what you guys are doing. And I think the collective consciousness is shifting about all this. Yeah. Do you have a sense of, so once this measure goes through, you said decriminalize Boston, which it's technically deprioritized, right?
Yeah, deprioritize is kind of the official jargon used inside the city. Yeah, which it is decriminalization. It's the same thing.
Okay. And so once you get Boston, you'll be then there's more sway. There's not only is it Cambridge and Somerville, so more and more jurisdictions will do this, and then maybe we can change the ordinance in a year or two, and then you're hoping, it sounds like, for federal decriminalization of psychedelics or all drugs. What's on the horizon?
So Bay Staters for Natural Medicine's mission is really to focus on the municipal level for now to send those strong institutional messages. Because our position is you can have lots of fancy conferences where you preach to the choir and educate people who are already in the psychedelic space or educate people in the drug policy space, but people take their cue from government as to what they should believe. You could sit in a room with an older gentleman for 12 hours and review the evidence and stories, and he still wouldn't change his mind because drugs are bad, drugs are illegal. But when an institution tells us something morally, that these plants do have value, that they should be equitably accessible, that potentially educates tens of thousands of people in the community and lessens the stigma so more people can have conversations, share with their friends, and start their own plant medicine journey. Bay Staters doesn't, aim to change federal policy. We don't lobby on federal policy, but we do believe that if we create communities that can operate below the level of government and below what corporate America can control, that's going to be the best modality, if you will, for access for working class people who are not going to be able to afford, again, a $15,000 regimen or a $10,000 regimen through these companies.
Totally. And I know you mentioned Grow, Gather, Gift on a past call that we had. Can you explain a little bit about what that is?
Yeah. So Grow, Gather, Give, Decriminalized Nature did a lot of work. Want to give them a shout out in kind of putting together this philosophy. It's this idea of us kind of decommodifying these plant medicines and making them available at the community level, whether that be indigenous healers, whether that be informal healers like Mishu. We want folks to be able to grow their own, gather their own from the wild, and also be able to give them away to friends. I honestly don't see it as a extremely lucrative industry to scale up and sell like a high quantity of mushrooms. Prove me wrong, there are like particular strains, but if we have a cottage industry where people are growing their own, that's gonna keep prices low instead of having this kind of artificial scarcity that corporate capitalism really thrives on. One of the reasons why therapy is so expensive, if you go to Greater Boston or even in Western Mass, it's difficult to find a therapist because we're in a mental health crisis. So requiring so much licensing and education, when a counselor works wonders for a lot of people, it's a shame, and it's something that we don't want to model with our community. We want counselors and informal relationships to be able to guide those experiences too.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I've always thought, like, does cannabis and psychedelics cause paranoia, or does prohibition cause paranoia? And I guess we'll really get to see if people can actually do so, you know, out and, I mean, would there be like limits? Yeah, I know with cannabis, you're not supposed to do it anywhere, only in private property. Does that go for this as well?
So just a note on the first thing you mentioned, paranoia, right? We had a great conversation with a Newton City councilor just a week or so ago. And people, in a lot of ways, if they are having a bad experience with psychedelics, they won't tell their parents, or they won't tell, you know, a health professional, because it's illegal, because it's stigmatized. So we really feel that people will take these plant medicines in a way healthier context and more controlled context once we lift the stigma, which allows for more education. Dr. Peter Grinspoon, a big ally of ours at Harvard Medical, says all the time, working with patients, that they don't tell him about cannabis use because it's so stigmatized. So that's on us to try to break that down over time. You also asked kind of a secondary question to that. Could you repeat it if you remember it?
Yeah, like, can I just trip anywhere I want once this goes through, or is it supposed to be only in private property?
So nothing's really stopping you from doing that under prohibition either, which I think is the first thing to recognize. So I know that our resolutions are written to where you're not allowed to possess psychedelics on school grounds or while driving. And we would just urge people to act responsibly and use these items at home. Alcohol has been legal for almost 100 years, almost exactly 100 years now, and people still drink it in very unhealthy contexts and wherever they damn well please. But we, as a public health organization and others that care about public health, it's about educating and encouraging people to use these plants the right way.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And what will it mean for you if all that you're intending goes through and we have these changes?
What I'm really looking forward to is just hearing passive stories in Boston of folks who have really found relief, spiritual and a physical relief, with plant medicines, and knowing that somewhere down that butterfly chain of cause and effect, our resolutions had to do with it. And we often go canvassing in the Boston Common, which is garden in central Boston, and we just talk to people about the war on drugs, random strangers. And we've already encountered 4 or 5 people that are growing their own mushrooms because of the resolution in Somerville. And so at scale, I think that our communities are going to be healthier, happier and more engaged? Are psychedelics gonna magically transform the world and fix every problem we face? No, but I think when we're healthier and we're happier as a society, our politics and our culture are going to reflect that.
And what will it personally mean to you? Like, are you gonna cry when it happens?
Already crying. I think that plant medicine has clearly had its moment in our culture. It's just a matter of, are we going to allow pharmaceutical titans like Peter Thiel to run ripshod over this industry and write the regulations that happen in the Massachusetts State House? And the only thing we can do at this point is set an example on the municipal level, educate every lawmaker that will listen to us, and educate people to create a network where, you know, your cousin might hear about a $15,000 retreat center and say, oh, wow, that sounds outrageous with my insurance deductible, even though it's covered. I'll just buy shrooms from Paul and sit with someone like Mishu and, you know, just absorb feelings, absorb emotions. For me personally, I have lost some very precious people to suicide. I've lost some very precious people, huge chunks of their life to addiction. And I think that it'll repair a lot of intergenerational trauma. A lot of kids I'm looking out for today. And, it's healed a lot in me, traumas that I won't pass on to my kids because I've had these explorations with plant medicine.
Wow, that's really powerful. And how can people get involved if they want to contribute their energy and efforts to this?
So the shameless plug here is to visit Bay Staters on Instagram. That's our handle. It's where we're most active on social media. We also have a Facebook at Bay Staters. And if all else fails, just shoot us an email and we'll add you to our list. It's team@baystatersnm.com. We're really excited to seeing you, to see you.
And sing with you.
And sing with you, the whole nine yards. And we also train activists around the country. We've helped advocates in Florida, in California, in South Carolina that are working just toward decriminalizing cannabis. So we're really excited to just help any cause that's really pushing the world forward because we operate at a scale where we can create those tools. We have that grassroots organizing experience. So let us impart that on you. Let us be a resource to you. We don't fundraise. We don't ask anyone for money. We're just here to help.
Wow. That's great. And so lastly, I'll just ask, what about you? Like, what is your consciousness hack? I mean, maybe like decriminalizing plant medicines is like a big consciousness hack, but is there anything else that you personally do to connect to yourself and your essence?
Yeah. One thing that really changed me as a person was decommodifying animals. So I grew up always really, really loving animals, connecting with my dogs, connecting with other pets. And my entire worldview changed when I stopped seeing them as items for human consumption and human pleasure. And I think that psychedelics with intention can be used to help soften our minds to a lot of the speciesism that's embedded in our society, where we literally refer to animals as it. We call them livestock. And it's such a patronizing view of creatures that have lived for generations before we were walking and talking and using language, and they speak and use senses that we'll never have the privilege of experiencing. So just trying to decouple myself from the arrogance that comes with humanity and thinking that we are entitled to destroy the earth, that we are entitled to mass enslave and exploit animals. That's my life hack. And it's made me feel a lot better too, just divesting myself of eating animal products. So for what it's worth, that's a plug I'll give and my consciousness hack.
Amazing. Any last things that you want to add at all? Or
just want to thank you all and say we're really excited for what the future holds. Evil only triumphs when good people do nothing.
The Psychedologist is Consciousness Positive Radio. find us everywhere podcasts are hosted. For more information, visit us on Facebook or online at thepsychedologist.com.